beats so hard, my bass and fun.
Read so hard, library's trying to find me. They can't identify me. Checked in with a pseudonym, so I guess you could say I'm Mark Twaining. Read so hard,
that shit cray.
That shit cray.
Ain't it, eh?
Read so hard,
what you reading?
What you reading?
D-Montaigne. Read so hard,
you use a Kindle? I carry spines, supporting bookshelves like a bra. Calvin Klein.
Hi, you're listening to Drunk Booksellers. My name is Kim.
And I'm Emma.
And we're professional booksellers.
And casual drinkers. Today, we are super excited to be talking to Holland Saltzman, who is the owner of The Novel Neighbor in Webster Groves, Missouri. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I've been very excited.
Yeah, us too.
We're thrilled to have you here.
You came highly recommended by our friend Beth, who does books and whatnot.
I can't even remember how I met Beth. I think she, I've always gotten her newsletters and I've loved them. And then she was asking for photos of bathrooms. And we just happened to have a great bathroom in the store that we think. And so, like, we started corresponding. And then I think at the last Winter Institute, we were on a very losing trivia team together. Mm-hmm. But big fan.
Nice. I'm so glad you brought up the bathroom thing, because I was Googling The Novel Neighbor and I saw that you've got one of the top 10 bathrooms in the nation.
What? I'm telling you.
So it looks so pretty, and I'm kind of a public restroom connoisseur. Huge fan.
You can come use it anytime.
Yeah, we will obviously make sure that we put pictures of the bathroom in our show notes.
Okay.
Put a plug in there. We do have show notes available for every episode, and we've started linking directly to IndieBound. So whenever you click on those links, it will let you buy from a local bookstore whatever book we're talking about. And a little bit of, itty bitty bit of the proceeds might come back to us so that we stop losing all of our money on this. So, yeah.
That's a really good idea. So go local.
Exactly.
Yeah. Before we get too far into books, will you tell us what we're drinking?
We are drinking Dirty Gin Martinis this evening. I almost stopped at my favorite bar to see if she would just give me some blue cheese stuffed olives, because that's really my way to drink it, but I thought that might be a little rude, but it's never the same if I make them at home.
Yeah. Blue cheese stuffed olives in a martini sounds amazing.
Oh my God, it's my happiest place. So, okay. Yes, I was going to cop out and do bourbon since I am from Kentucky, but I got to tell you, when it's these hot summer days, I just need a little gin.
Yeah, I put extra olive juice in mine.
So you're extra dirty.
That checks out.
Yeah, all right, done.
How many olives?
I had 4.
Nice.
And they're all speared on a chopstick because I'm drinking out of a mason jar. And
smart. Yeah.
I have 2 that are just simply floating around, and I'm drinking out of a coffee mug.
Very classy.
I couldn't find my martini glass.
We're so fucking classy.
Hey guys, I'm drinking out of a martini glass. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very classy over
Whatever.
Here.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Let's talk about books. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, Holland, what are you reading right now?
Right now, I just finished, and we do a subscription service, and so what I used for our past month for July is The Amazing Adventures of Aaron Broom, and it's this tiny little hardcover that just came out, but it's this great story about this kid. It's during the Depression era. His dad gets nicked, kind of misled at a jewelry heist, and he's on his own. He doesn't have a mom. So he's during the Depression era, he gets locked out of his apartment. He's got to figure out how to take care of it, like solve this sort of what happened, because he knows his dad wasn't part of it, but his dad's in jail. And, you know, just relying on all these great characters. And it takes place in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So I just sort of randomly picked it up, and it was just a really fun, easy read. So that was good. And so we do either monthly or every other month or every 3 months subscription. So a lot of people got to read that for July. I just finished Paperback Crush. So it's sort of this compilation. I'm not sure if we're the same generation, but it is literally a kind of commentary, bio, reflection of all these crazy books, like Couples and Wildfire, that did these, like, they just mass generated all these kind of romance in the 80s. And you could, you know, B. Dalton, Walden books, and you just, Sweet Valley High, like all the Sweet Valley High type books. Mm-hmm. And it is an entire kind of common nonfiction commentary on the good and the bad and the ugly of what these books did for us, you know, who are adults now in the 80s, which was just frightening, kind of going down memory lane.
No.
The Good Neighbor, the Mr. Rogers bio.
Yeah, how is that?
If you liked the documentary, you will love the bio. It is so good. Another one, Harry's Trees, very character-driven and, like, perfectly paced, and I'm not a really emotional person. There might have been a tear in my eye when it sort of wrapped up. It was really good. And the last one is the Anna Karenina Fix. So this book, I was a Russian major for like a semester because why not? And this is by Vib Groskop, and it is basically life lessons through Russian literature. That's what I got.
Nice. Emma, what are you up to right now?
So right now I'm reading I'm Fine, But You Appear to Be Sinking by Lena Crow. Mm-hmm. She is local to the Pacific Northwest area. It's short fiction. I really like it so far. It's pretty weird. It begins with an index. It says an index of things to come. And I really enjoy that because like all of the things listed in the index are really bizarre. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to like
that
this
sounds
book.
Sounds like your sort of thing.
Awesome.
Then I'm also reading They Can't Kill Us Until They Kill Us by Hanif Abdurraqib, which is just it's an essay collection, mostly music writing, but also just doing a lot of commentary on race relations and politics, but all like wrapped up from this musical perspective. And I don't know a lot about music and I don't generally read a lot about music, but he's so fascinating and such a good writer that it really does not matter. Like, you could completely not care about Carly Rae Jepsen and still find this book super fascinating. He's also a poet, so I'm really excited once I finish this to go back and read some of his poetry. Besides that, I just finished another essay collection called Betwixt and Between by Jenny Booley. This one took me a while to get through. Jenny Booley writes some weird stuff, and so it's just one of those books where you kind of have to just be along for the ride. It's technically a collection of essays about writing, but it's really not. It really plays around with form, and I just found myself, I've been writing down passages of books in my journal, and I filled up so many pages, and I write tiny, with passages from this book. It was so good. She's so smart. And then I think Kim will probably also want to talk about this, but we both just finished Educated by Tara Westover.
So good.
We just had our book club for it. That book is so good. It's so intense. It's about a young woman who was born in Idaho into an extremist Mormon family. And it's a really abusive relationship. She's homeschooled, but not really, but she's kept out of school. Later she says that she thinks her dad might have had bipolar disorder. He's super paranoid and just like not very empathetic, and so puts her in all of these dangerous situations. It was really hard to read. I listened to the audiobook, which I highly recommend. That hit a lot of hard places, but I really recommend reading it. Kim, did you want to talk about
that?
No,
I mean, it was a perfect book club book, like really perfect. Everybody came out of it with an interesting perspective. There was a lot of kind of deep diving into like our own perceptions of religion and class issues that I think was really fascinating. So
So what are you reading, Kim?
So right now I am just about to finish a book called Unbound by Arlene Stein, which is I've been on like a trans man kick recently, apparently, because I word vomited about amateur last episode. It's essentially Arlene Stein follows a group of four separate individuals who are all getting top surgery, and she's a sociologist, and so she's, you know, she's looking both at like the larger sociological implications of what it means to be a trans man and to like go into like this kind of masculine cultural dynamic, and also just talks about their own personal narratives within the context of that. Two of the people she follows identify as trans men. One is genderqueer, and the other is actually, she's a lesbian, and identifies as a woman, but wanted to change her body in a way that fit her own identity without necessarily changing her gender markers, which was really interesting. So it was a fascinating look at kind of a deconstruction of gender while also looking at like transitional period between the binaries. So that made it sound kind of boring if you're not interested in it. So I guess if that sounded interesting to you, go for it. Unbound is great. And then I also just, I don't know, I've been on a bit of a reading slump. And so I know, you know, it happens. So I was trying to read something that was just going to be kind of pure fun. So I read When Katie Met Cassidy by Camille Perry. That is just a purely fun lesbian romance. Perry had a really interesting article that came out right around the book release talking about how she's heard some criticism about the fact that she isn't being as political as she should be within the context of her queer fiction. And she's like, but you know what? Joy, like having characters who experience joy is a political act in and of itself. So romance is not...
That's such a good point.
You know, having just a quote-unquote fluffy romance like is still political when it's queer. And she was like, I think we all deserve to have a happy, like... joyful reading experience, and there's no shame in that. So I really liked it. It was, again, it was fun, it was fluffy. When Katie Met Cassidy, right before then I just finished Juliet Takes a Breath by Gabby Rivera, who also writes the America comics, so queer Latina superhero. So essentially Juliet, she is a Latina Puerto Rican New Yorker who is obsessed with this feminist kind of get into the spirit of your goddess vagina sort of author who's like super fucking white, but she's like really into this book and it spoke to her, and so she ends up taking this internship during college with the author in Portland, Oregon. But it kind of takes on the very whitewashed feminism and talks about how POC women can inhabit that space, and it calls out like the white feminism really fucking well. It's technically an adult book, but it's a very easy YA crossover. There's like a little bit of romance in there, but nothing that like a teenager can't read, and I think it's gonna be really important for teens. So as somebody who lives in a also very white liberal city, I think it's gonna be a really important book to be put in people's hands. So yeah, that's what I've got going on right now.
All right, let's talk about forthcoming books we're looking forward to.
All right. I mean, do you just have a hard time breathing looking at all the books that are coming out? Because on most days, I'm just like, I don't even know where to start. How do you guys start? What comes next? Just covers, whatever floats your boat, whatever your rep maybe pushes or whatever. I mean, it's just, I mean, every day I'm like, okay, what's next? And it's sort of mentally, I mean, I know to others that sounds like, oh, I wish I had that problem of what all the men's books to read, but it does. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming.
There are so many books I don't get to, and that's so frustrating.
God. On my, like, I just sort of went to my stack. I mean, which of the stacks of in my house that I was like, okay, I'll pull, like, I mean, there's so many. So to try to do a little bit of a cross-reference, The Diary of a Bookseller, that's, you know, I'm curious about what that's going to be about, and then wonder why maybe I didn't do it. just kind of some information about that. I'm excited about What If This Were Enough? And it's essays, which I don't get to enough. We're trying to, so many of us read adult at the store, and our children's book buyer is kind of like, hello, anyone? So I do try to, like, every fifth book be a middle grade or young adult. So she brought me one the other day that comes out in December, and it's called The Disasters. And this is the best, I mean, on the back, it's the Breakfast Club meets Guardians of the Galaxy. So, I mean, I'm so excited for both of those. So I'm excited to kind of read that. In preparation for, you know, our podcast today, The Hungover, The Morning After, One Man's Quest for the Cure. I think that comes out in November, and I think that could be a fun sort of hand sell at the holidays for that hard to buy for a person, because it looks like he has, I mean, just from the table of contents and things like that, it looks like he's sort of tried all the things. So I love any of those guinea pig type of books where somebody kind of goes through it. Deborah Harkness has a new one out. And we have a lot of people that liked the All Souls trilogy. So I was going to give that a look because I haven't done any fantasy for a really long time to see if what that's about. And that's kind of, I mean, I've got a gazillion more, but those are kind of the next up on doc for what I'm reading.
Nice.
Okay. And what you are looking forward to reading?
Kim, you want to go first?
Sure. So I am currently reading Washington Black by Ezzy Edguan. I think it's a really good comp for people who like Sing Unburied Sing and the Underground Railroad. I'm only about 40 pages in right now. And it's very powerful. Her first book, Half-Blood Blues, was extraordinarily well-received. I think it won a bunch of things. And I think it's going to be one of the big books of the fall, which is nice when those come out in September because we can still, like, we've got some time for them to gain momentum. So I'm really excited about that. Monstrous has a third volume coming out in September. Are you going to talk about this, Emma? Because I can stop talking about it. But
no.
Okay.
No. I'm going to talk about a different comic.
Awesome. Okay. So yeah, Marjorie Liu's Monstrous has volume 3 coming out. For those of you who are interested in kind of the fantastical, badass female protagonist, if you like Saga but want less dude, read Monstrous. And then V.E. Schwab, who wrote Vicious, has the second book in the series coming out in September 25th, I think, which I'm really excited about. We read Vicious, for those listeners who've been following us for a while. Emma and I read it for a book club a while back. It was fun, like, kind of...
It was so good.
Yeah, it's superhero comics meets... I don't know. It's kind of X-Men-y, but I don't know. It's a lot of fun, and I'm really excited to see where the characters go from the last book.
Yeah. If you like books that kind of question what is considered good and what is considered evil, and, like, characters that are supposed to be the villain, but, like, are they?
Yeah.
That's why I really liked Vicious.
Yeah. Anyway, and then just a quick plug for early October, knowing that this might take us a couple weeks to get out. Michael Lewis, they just dropped in that he's going to be doing a book on Trump. I'm kind of done with the Trump think piece books, but I'll come back in for Michael.
What's it called?
It's called The Fifth Risk. In one other... I guess Trump-related book, but I'm really excited about the new Pete Souza. So for those of you who recall the big phenomenon in the last holidays, Pete Souza's Obama photography book, his new book is called Shade, A Tale of Two Presidents, and I'm just so down for this. Anyway, that's what I got.
All right.
Emma, what are you excited about?
I read two of the books that I'm actually going to be talking about, which
nice.
Is... cool for me. I feel like mostly I'm like, well, this sounds really good, but I haven't gotten a chance yet. So the first one is Severance by Ling Ma. It comes out August 14th, so it'll probably be out by the time you hear this. If not, it's a goddamn miracle that we got the podcast out so fast.
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah. And people are pitching this as an office novel. I disagree. I think it's more of a, I've been seeing, like, two kinds of books coming out lately. There is the post-apocalyptic novel, like your Station Elevens, and then there's the, like, millennial, like, coming-of-age, very, like, maybe a little bit vapid, a little bit cliche. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still read a lot of those, though. Is that bad?
No, I think...
Nope.
So anyway, this book takes those two kinds of novels and smushes them together, and it's awesome. So it's like this young woman, her parents have died, so she has a lot of money, and she's living in New York, and she's not really doing anything, and she's like feeling sorry for herself, with good reason, and the apocalypse is slowly happening around her. So it goes kind of back and forth between her present day, where she is with a bunch of other survivors, and they're trying to reach this, like, safe place that one of them knows about, and then back to, like, how she was functioning in New York City, like, as everything was slowly falling apart. The details in this book... are incredible. Just her struggles with being alone and something else, but I don't want to say because it would be a spoiler, are really interesting. I normally shy away from apocalypse novels. I've actually still never read Station Eleven because they kind of depress me. And this one was tough. I had to put it down for a little while because it was, I mean, things are not going well in reality, so it's hard to read books where things aren't going well.
Yes.
But it was really good. I highly recommend it. And the other one that I read is Rosewater by Tade Thompson. I realized as I was reading this that I don't think I've read a sci-fi novel since Annihilation, which is weird because I like sci-fi. This book was so good. I have trouble describing it, so I'm totally going to botch it. It's kind of... It takes place in a future Nigeria. An alien life form has landed on Earth and is kind of tunneled into Earth. And in this particular place, Rosewater has formed as like a giant dome. Every year or so, the dome opens up a little bit and anyone who's within its like reach is completely healed. So people like come from all over to be healed by this alien force. But that's not exactly what's happening. And the main character works for this government agency. He has the ability to, he's basically a mind reader. But the way they explain it is much more like interesting. It's kind of like, imagine if the cloud were like an actual place that some people could access, like just with their minds. He's one of those people. Really, really interesting sci-fi stuff. And Tade Thompson is great. He also wrote a novella called The Murders of Molly Southbourne that's been a staff rec at Elliott Bay for a while that I've been meaning to read. Basically, there's this woman, Molly, every time she bleeds, a clone of her is born, and that clone is determined to kill her. So she just has to keep murdering clones of hers.
Okay.
So that sounds great. but I haven't gotten to it yet, but it comes highly recommended, so I'm fine saying that that's a great book. And yeah, Rosewater was amazing. It's going to be a trilogy. He's an excellent writer. I'm really looking forward to hand selling it. I think it will be good for people who are already into sci-fi, but also for people who are kind of new to the genre and just want to dip their toes in. I think it works for both, which is kind of rare.
Yeah.
So there is a comic coming out called Exit Stage Left, The Snagglepuss Chronicles. It's by Mark Russell, illustrated by Mike Feehan. Mark Russell is the one who did that new Flintstones comic that everybody's been talking about.
Oh, it's so good.
I still haven't read it.
Oh, I love it. I've got a copy.
Great. I'll borrow it.
Yeah.
Exit Stage Left is about another Hanna-Barbera character, Snagglepuss. If you don't remember, he is pink. Yeah. And a large cat. I don't know that he's a panther, but he might be, but he's not the Pink Panther.
Emma, I literally just Googled this, and now I'm just grinning at the image of Snagglepuss because I miss him. So continue, please.
The comic takes place during the Red Scare, and Snagglepuss is a gay theater director, I believe. I haven't read it yet. I haven't even read it in issues, but I kept hearing about it on this other podcast that I loved called Super Skull, which maybe I've talked about before. And if I haven't, it's an amazing comic book podcast. And this one guy, one of the hosts of Super Skull, keeps talking about Snagglepuss and Exit Stage Left. He says it's amazing. So I'm really looking forward to that coming out. I think that Mark Russell just does really interesting things with these characters that, like, you think you know, and then he throws this new context around them, and you're like, oh, shit. Like, it's not just a kid's cartoon anymore.
Yay.
So that's cool. And then just, like, quick plugs for other books that I think are important and you should keep an eye out for. All You Can Ever Know by Nicole Chung is coming out October 2nd. That's a memoir. That looks really good. Friday Black, which is a collection of short stories that I have not read yet, but one of my coworkers is kind of obsessed with. That looks great.
Okay, I have to ask a question.
Yeah.
Just because of this, because you've mentioned a lot of essays. Whose staff favorite is All the Lives I Want at LA Bay?
Oh, it's me.
So, funny story. I posted this on our Instagram a few days ago because that's the book I grabbed when my son's coming to Seattle University in the fall.
Oh.
So we had orientation a couple weeks ago, and so I came in LA Bay, and that's the book I picked. But I took a photo of it and I posted it, but I don't, and I've got a little bit of the commentary that you guys do for your favorite picks. But I don't, like, I don't have the person's name, and I just have the picture. So I was like, what are the odds that this is the book that I bought at LA Bay, and this is who I'm talking with?
Yep, so the odds are 100%.
Okay, all right. So I'm currently reading that as well to way circle back to what we started talking about. But what a fun essay book. I never would have found that without you.
It's so good. So I would not have known about All the Lives I Want if it wasn't for Amy Stevenson from Booksmith in San Francisco, who talked about it on our episode and made it sound like so much fun and so interesting. And then Libro, the audiobook service that Kim and I both use, had it as an e-ARC, like a digital download. And I listened to the audiobook, and I've listened to that audiobook like 2.5 times.
It's so good.
Yes.
I never would know. That is like out of all, I mean, that's a huge bookshelf of staff like selections or staff suggestions. And that's the one that I picked out. And then like, I just tweeted about, Instagrammed about it maybe about a week ago. Because I finally got around to reading it, even though I bought it like 2 weeks ago. So that's a pleasure to meet you.
That's cool. Putting shelf talkers on stuff works.
It really does.
Read so hard, libraries trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit
crack. Let's transition to talking about books.
What?
Is that okay? Yeah.
I'm all right with that.
Okay, cool. Cool. So, Holland, so you own the Novel Neighbor in Webster Groves, Missouri, which is right outside of St. Louis, correct?
Correct.
Okay. You guys opened in 2014?
Correct.
Okay, great. I remember the article I read an hour ago. Very proud.
retention.
tell us about the Novel Neighbor.
So, we opened, there's a lot of questions. This is what Joy's wanted to do. Is this a dream you've always had? And no, I sort of have always, as I mentioned earlier, was Russian major for a minute and 16 other majors. But I actually did college student housing for about 15 years. And you can imagine the fun and between parents and kids and things like that, that I sort of got out of that. But I'd always loved kids literature, so I segued a little bit into a kids librarian for a minute, didn't love that, and then thought, hey, I should open a bookshop.
And NBD.
No big deal at all. But in the area, the neighborhood that we are in, the suburb outside of St. Louis, there wasn't one at the time that was kind of what I had envisioned of doing new books, but also locally made gifts. I'm a big fan of like local art, craft fairs and things like that. And once those are gone, where do you find this original artwork? As well as just already feeling the need to, I just think we're moving less and less away from a community gathering space. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I wanted. And I started to do meetings with everybody across the board from local. Curtis Sittenfeld lives here. So she was gracious enough to sit down with me because I met her through another bookstore and talk with me. And I met with, a couple of publishers, somebody from Fuji Associates kind of works in the area. And I just sort of kept having these meetings of, am I crazy? And no one told me I was crazy. So I picked the right people. and so, right. Because obviously I was insane. And so it's been great. And so from the get-go, we've heard a little bit of like, why don't you say it's the Novel Neighbor bookstore? And I'm like, we're more than a bookstore. From the minute we opened, you might not need a book, but you might need a locally made gift. You might need a birthday party this. You might need something like that. So we are about 2,800 square feet, new adult books as much as kids books. Our events, we have an event space that we do book themed birthday parties, which have just been insane. Kids can pick a book, from Harry Potter to The Magic Treehouse. They can pick any book, or they can say, I like narwhals and space. And we'll go, okay. And we have this great woman who puts together these incredible parties. And so then we've added summer camps. And so we just had our full season of summer camps. And then, you know, we do literary cocktail events. We do, you know, there's some people who had, who used the meeting space last night about election protection and how, you know, going into this fall, what we need to be careful about and things like that. And so, you know, more so than ever, the space is being used for some community gathering. And it's just, it's been incredible. We've grown more than we ever planned. We're doing real, we have a strong children's book buyer and event coordinator. So our school visits, you know, during the school year are crazy. But for the most part, we just keep trying to connect people with books, trying to get them to support local, but find a place for people to gather together, as well as, you know, find unique locally made things. So
cool. What percentage is books versus sidelines or non-book products?
We are more books, except greeting cards, for goodness sakes. I mean, cards, people love their cards. And so we do that overwhelmingly every time I'm working on a reorder, greeting cards. And so the rest of our lines around the holidays, it probably evens out. We carry a bunch of additional lines during the holidays. It's tricky though, because there's better margins sometimes with non-book items. And and then you're working for consignment and you're trying to support some local artists and things like that. So it's a very, I'm sure you all, as you know, you're weighing everything out at all times.
Yep. Yeah. I saw on your website that you have someone doing yoga classes in the bookstore.
Like called Kaiute Yoga, and her woman's name is Kelly Childs, and she and her family, voracious readers. She's got her son is in particular. They've been in our store since almost we opened, but she got trained in this particular type of yoga, and she's the only instructor in St. Louis. And, you know, she was like, hey, should we maybe try this? And every class she offers, she sells out. And it's, I don't want to say gentle because that might take away from it, and I haven't done the class yet, because it sells out every single time. But the benefits and, you know, all ages and everybody's reception to it and the mindfulness component of it, which is, you know, part of all yoga, has just been unbelievable.
I've never heard of a bookstore hosting yoga classes. That is such a cool idea.
Well, so what does your event space look like? Like, do you have an extra room that you can use for these things?
When we first opened, we had a room that was maybe 700 square feet that was split in half because we had an artist in residence. There was a friend of mine who wanted to teach craft classes to adults. And I was like, if you want to sublease some space, that's great for my rent. Mm-hmm. And then she could teach classes and that could sort of add on to this more than a bookstore. So we had this, and then that as an event space, she could do her craft classes in an event space. We could maybe host 25 chairs. And then, God help us, we ended up just luckily, you know, whatever. We had like William Joyce there, picture book author. And I mean, we had people in the bathroom. We had people standing in the store. I mean, we outgrew the event space really quick to be able to do things at the store. And then within the same level of our building, there was another company that was street level, which is where we are. And there's actually a door that connected to our classroom. But we'd always had it locked, and they left, and so we subleased the space for a few, you know, months just to see if we used it, and then we couldn't live without it. And so without really being ready, we took on another 700 square feet of event space. Once you have it, you can't let it go. And then you're like, I can't have an insurance company. Nothing against insurance company people. We need you. But all of a sudden was like, why would we give this up? And so... then I was like, I need to hire an event coordinator to get that space filled 24/7 to justify now the additional rent we're paying.
That's so smart.
It's been like we sort of grew before I was – there's been lots of growing pains in a good way. So now, yes, we do have sort of this event space that is this blank space. So between, you know, showers for babies and, you know, we've had every kind of – there's a local company that does some literary cocktail things as well. They had a Game of Thrones event and a Gatsby New Year's Eve party. And, you know, so we keep it as blank as possible in some ways. And so we can do a multi-local author, you know, signing once a month. and or shut it all down, have this huge space and bring in all this stuff to do a, you know, a knockout New Year's Eve party.
Wow. That sounds so cool.
So I know a lot of stores have trouble with authorless events, but it sounds like you are not one of those stores. How do you get people in the door for events that like don't have like a big name author attached to it?
I think sometimes it's just we sort of have like a weekly flyer up front at the desk. And so almost every single person that comes in, we try to connect every purchase with a future event.
Wow.
So you're buying these two picture books. Oh, did you know that we have this picture book kind of craft day that we're having? You circle it, you hand it to them and say, you might want to come back and check that out. Oh, you've got this entertaining cocktail book. Hey, we've got this, you know, we're doing gin, the history of gin on, you know, this particular date. You might want to sign up for that. So we really challenge our kind of frontline counter people, any one of us that are working at any time, to every purchase, can you connect it to a future event? And that way it's just, it feels personalized and they sort of walk out with this piece of paper. And, you know, that's one, I mean, we do a ton of social media, but mm-hmm. that's in store what we really try to do.
That's so simple and so smart.
Yeah, I don't know why that didn't occur to me. But... oh, maybe I could just tell people they have to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys do yoga classes. You also do, like, educational classes as well, correct? Like, I want to know all the weird correct. Shit that you guys are doing in this classes.
We do, because yeah. you just, I mean, it's yeah. crazy. And I wish I had it in front of me right now, and Amanda, who's our event coordinator, will beat me, because I do not have this in front of me. And some of it is posted on the website. Yeah. But she, like, so this summer was the first time that we were like, okay, 6 weeks of classes, here's how it's going to cost. It's going to be Monday through Friday, 10 to 3. And we're just tightening up, you know, things like that. So that's what she's ready to roll out. She said, by the middle of this month, all of our fall classes.
You guys charge for the classes, correct?
So almost every class we do. So sometimes it's instructor. There's an instructor coming in who wants to do a mindfulness. You know, somebody did the Artist's Way, which I think is a 6-7 week class. Somebody wanted to, you know, we've got someone who's coming in to teach a sewing class for adults. We've got someone coming in to, you know, do some repurposed book crafts. We've got someone coming in who has a PhD in fashion, and she's moved to the area, and she's actually, you know, hosting a Q&A with Fiona Davis because she's got a new book coming out.
Yeah.
But she wants to come in and do like a 4-week literary fashion kind of study, and you know we're just massaging all that out right now, but I mean it's almost like continuing ed, but we need to, I mean, but it's sexier than that, you know, it's just it's trying to, you know, because you're it takes a lot, at least if you're me, to get me out of my house at night.
Yeah.
And so what is something that we can provide, you know, there's definitely our cocktails and literary and things like that. But what are other things that people are looking for, and how can we find those people to connect those dots? But almost
how do you find those people?
Some people approach us once they've either taken a class or they see a class, or if all of a sudden we're like, you know, it would be really cool is if somebody, what were we talking about? So we had our, I was joking earlier, we had our first staff retreat because we needed to. and we, I'm going to think of it again in a second, but we were like, oh my God, we're totally doing that. And we all jumped all over it. And I was like, you're on this, you're on that part of it, because we need to make that happen. And I'm not going to remember it. But some of it's just brainstorming where we see a void. Free libraries. And so we were talking about, you know, do you need to register through free libraries, or could we just have an event one night that you talk about how the free library program works? You have refreshments, as you always do. And then we would leave, they could each leave with like 10 advanced reader copies to populate their free library, if that makes sense. But have somebody aww. Come in who might teach, like, here's designs, or here's actually 4 people locally that you could contact, so you support locally, these contractors who could easily put together a free library for you, and we as the novel neighbor will populate your first 10 books in your library. And so all of a sudden, you know, that just sort of came very organically out of this meeting we were having today, and so we're going to look at doing that this fall as well. And another thing we came up with this year, and it might be like, duh, we've all done this forever, but for us it was important, I would find myself like, on an airplane, like ready to leave a book because I'm done and I've like recorded any notes, or like I'm done with it, or I'm like at a hotel, or I'm at home at my family, or I'm at the coffee shop. And so if like, I always just want to leave the book because somebody else might enjoy it. And so we had these stickers created that said compliments of the novel Neighbor, and it sort of had our social media. And so when we do that for randomly free libraries around our town, or if any of us are at a point where, like, if you're traveling, you're taking a book and you think you're going to leave it, slap a sticker on it. And so it's just interesting to see those people who find it or pick it up or things like that that will actually tag you. Because it, I don't know, it's just sort of that, you know, the way people use to track dollar bills or just some of that. It just, it kind of creates this larger community.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's
so cool. Wait, Holland, can I ask you about your staff retreat? Tell me about the icebreakers that you had, like what everybody needs to
try. Background. Yeah. We did do our professional development, if you will, is we did do the Strengths Finder 2.0. I just, out of all the sort of personality and work assessments, I did that one like a gazillion years ago in my other full-time job. And I just find the way that it's presented and the information it gives is very helpful for a group. Mm-hmm. And so I had a friend who I used to work with in higher ed come facilitate that for an hour. And then the rest was, you know, my new manager had met individually with these other three people, and we sort of assessed these 10 things, like what do they love? What are they not getting a chance to do? What frustrates them? What's their favorite part? You know, just kind of getting a feel for where everything was. And so that sort of dictated the fact that everybody feels disorganized. Mm. No surprise.
Bookstores, yeah.
Right. Blackberry and things like that. No one knowing where we were going, so no clear vision had been talked about for a while, and just a couple of other things. And so, you know, we spent time about like how to work together, and then we spent a ridiculous amount of time talking about working in chunks of time, and how, you know, we all looked at our job descriptions because we've never really even had job descriptions. But we were like, let's create them. What does that look like? How much time per week do we need to do things? And so I like handed out blank calendars saying, what does your chunks of time look like? If you could really schedule your 40 hours a week into chunks, what would that look like? And do we need to buy noise canceling headphones so we don't chat to each other and squirrel each other, as we call it? Do we need to, you know, have some working from home? Do we need to? And just really, because I think we all feel exhausted. But I think we have enough staff to work well within the 40 hours a week. We just aren't being smart.
Right.
Wow.
So.
This is. So, Holland, like, I think we talked about this last episode, but bookstores are a business, and very few booksellers / bookstore folk read business books. And this sounds like an actual, like, productive business meeting.
We talked a lot about chunk plumbing. There's a chunk plan, and I had like little chunky candy bars because I'm that cute occasionally. Right. I called Walgreens last night at like 10:15. I was like, is this still a thing? Do people have to? And they're like, yeah, we carry those. But anyway, so we did definitely. Laura Vanderkamp does a lot about time management, and so we used some of her stuff.
Who's that?
She writes, her first book was 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think. And she was all about, what are your goals? Write all those down and then take this worksheet for 168 hours, which is how much time you have in a week, and track exactly how you're spending your time. And then how does that time measure up with your goals and what you want to be doing? And so it was just more of a self-evaluation. And so she talks a lot about working smarter as opposed to harder, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, so that's what we did. So it was good. It was 3 hours. I was dreading. I was dreading in a lot of ways because we've just never needed to do this. We're all peers in some ways. And, you know, I've known these people before I sort of, quote unquote, was their boss. So there's just growth, and we got to figure it out. And it went way better than I had hoped. And it was great.
It sounds amazing.
It sounds so excited. You approached something like that in like the perfect way. Like, if I was working for you, that's exactly what I would have wanted.
Yeah. Well, that's what, I mean, it was, let's hear what you want, what you need, what you're missing, what you love. How does that fit? Do we, you know, everybody's going to have some bits of their job that they don't love, but, sure. You know, just, yeah. I mean, even myself, I mean, we're all reactionary. And so then, you know, how do we stop being, how do we stop just sitting there answering emails and, you know, getting just blown out of your, you know, get one thing done, for God's sakes.
Yeah. I could use a staff retreat to figure that out myself.
Yeah, totally.
Come on out.
Everybody, we're going to Missouri.
So you've been mentioning a bit that you guys have been going through some growing pains, and I'm wondering, like, not that you're necessarily on the other side of that, but is there anything that you wish you could have told yourself when you first started, or anything you wish you had done differently to, not necessarily, I mean, you're going to have growing pains, but maybe to lessen those?
I wrote myself the same note, Emma.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah.
I might need to go refresh my drink for that one. I think part of it is I would have possibly, you know, you don't have the money to hire all the staff you need to be able to do the things you want. So I don't know how I would have figured out how to, I needed a manager a year ago. And so that is, you know, I don't know if I needed to tell myself just how to figure that part of it out. Like, you know, did I grow in another area that I should have maybe put towards that? But it's just, you know, yeah, organizing or maybe creating some vision, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say because we haven't always been able to do, I wasn't able to hire a manager till about a month ago. So that, you know, I would love to have told myself that, but it's just maybe this chunk planning time, like it really, if we can all do this, it would make something, because we joke about squirreling, my children's event fire coordinator. We both get so excited about stuff, and we both, like, all of a sudden we're talking about an event with somebody for this fall, and somebody hands us the mail and there's a catalog for Blue Q socks, and all of a sudden we're talking about, oh God, we really need to do gift inventory, and then this person walks in the room and we're, oh, here's a new arc, we read this arc, and oh my God, that reminds me, we've got to put reviews on Ada. I mean, it just, you know, if I predict that this sort of intentional block working, that's what I'm going to have wished we would have maybe looked at a long time ago. So I'm very optimistic, but it's very uncomfortable for all of us because it's not how you work.
Right. Yeah, what you're describing is exactly how I work, and like, hey, I'm recognizing it as it's happening. I'm like, stop, but I can't.
Right. Yep. Agreed. So we'll see. I'll keep you posted.
All right.
Please do.
Read so hard, libraries trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
All right. Should we move on to reading life?
Yeah, let's do it.
So let's move on from books to books.
From books to books.
What? What is this podcast? Sorry.
Please keep going. All right. What is the book description that's guaranteed to get you reading? You pick up this galley, you read the back, and you're like, yes, please.
I joked earlier about the one that was like Breakfast Club meets Guardian of the Galaxy. I'm a really sucker for anything meets anything. Because, you know, you're so processing all this stuff. What I don't like is it's the next Behind Closed Doors. It's the next Bond Girl. It's the next whatever, fill in the blank here. That makes me nuts because I feel like we see that all the time. But if they do a really good job of, like, you know,
hybridizing.
Okay, I'm gonna move to a different drink now.
Hybridity, maybe.
Hybridity. If they hybrid, I'm actually good with hybridity because that is a really easy synopsis for me to understand. Like, what was that book, Sister? Something Lost Sister. It had the word sister in the title, and it was. And I might have come, I forget if I came up with it myself, but this is the way I handled it. It was Comic-Con meets The Help.
Comic-Con meets The Help? I'm sorry.
Comic-Con meets The Help. It was so good. And it was like this woman who was a graphic novelist, and she gets drunk at Comic-Con, too much tequila. She hooks up with a black Batman, and then all of a sudden she's got to go quick to the south to deal with a crazy grandmother with an old house, and she finds herself pregnant. I mean, it was the craziest, but it was such a one favorite sister. I'll think of it. It was such a great read, and like, if I can put two things together like that, it's an easy. I'll pick it up, or I like to be able to do a handsaw that way.
Have you read Hawkeye, the Kate Bishop run?
I don't think so. I have to go look at the cover.
It's like Buffy meets Veronica Mars.
There you go. Like, done.
Emma, you never said that to me. In-
it's on my shelf talker.
I don't read all of your shelf talkers, unlike some people on this podcast, Holland.
Okay, sorry. Not fiction.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Let's like, done. Like that's. I mean, if I, if it's two things that I like, I'm very intrigued and easy by that. So.
Yeah, I agree. That's nice. Except when you read it and it's not.
Yes.
So Paula, so you've listened to our podcast before, so you know our Desert Island Station 11 Wild thing.
Stress me out. Yes.
Yes. So three questions. What is the book that you would like to take to Desert Island? What is the book you'd carry with you after an apocalyptic event? And what is the book that you would bring with you on an epic journey?
Okay, I hate the desert pick one, just because I couldn't. I like emailed two staff members. I'm like, what's a book that I always thought I meant to read, but I've never read it? I don't reread books hardly at all. The one book, I mean, and it just sounds so weird. I love Secret Garden. Like, aww. That is one book that I can reread. So many different stages of my life, still love it. I'm so excited it's coming back to Broadway. I'm a freak about, I've like 13 different book jackets of it. So that's because I couldn't come up with the one epic that I've always meant to read. If there's something that I had to just be stuck with to read again and again, it would be Secret Garden.
Yeah.
Can I interject for a second?
Yes.
Okay. I've never actually finished Secret Garden. Sorry. I have read A Little Princess.
Oh, they're good.
And that might be my one. But have you read Mandy?
No, never.
It's by Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
And it's, I didn't read Secret Garden because I read Mandy, and I feel like that's kind of the same thing. It's about an orphan who finds this like secret house that she like fixes up herself, and like just like that's her like one little place. I haven't read it in years. I read it when I was a kid, but. You should read Mandy.
We actually have it in stock. I will be happy to look at Mandy.
Okay, so we got our Desert Island pick. What's your Station 11 pick?
Again, a little stressed. So, I mean, there's the practical one. Like, we have a whole section in the store. Not a whole section. We have one small shelf that's called Did You Know? And it's for all these kind of crazy books of, like, I mean, one of them was, like, all the worst cures for how to cure diseases. Like, there's some really crazy ones. But there's also one about, like, how to stay alive in the woods. Like, so that's a practical pick for Station 11.
I like naming that section, Did You Know?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's my practical, but if we're looking politically, like if we got to re-sort of figure out like the good and the bad of how the things might run apocalyptically, I love Destiny of the Republic by Candace Millard about the assassination attempt on President Garfield and sort of this corrupt political thing that happened underfoot while he was sick and before he died. And it's a great, again, one of those nonfiction that reads like fiction stories about how very easily and twisted the government can come, you know. And this one was the vice president was. Have you guys read it?
No,
not
okay.
No.
So, and I'm not a huge history buff. I'm not a political presidential person at all. But I loved this book. And so the vice president, who's up and coming, is very corrupt, and he's under somebody's thumb from New York, and he, you know, it's all these bad things. And there's this woman who writes in this letter that says, "I believe you have good in you. I believe you can be successful, and I know you can do the right thing." And he actually like develops this correspondence with this woman that influences how he then responds to stepping up to be the president. It's unbelievable. So that's my commentary, but practical, how to stay alive in the woods.
Yeah. So let's talk about your wild book. What would you bring on an epic journey?
A gentleman named Leon Logothetis wrote Amazing Adventures of a Nobody was his first book. And the second one, though, The Kindness Diaries, they ended up making, I think, a Netflix special out of it. The first one, he's from England, high finance job, quit it all with a heavy belief that you can get by on the kindness of strangers in this world. And so the first book, he tried to get from New York to L.A. On the kindness of strangers. And it's just such a funny story. And it's, you know, he was like, oh, God, this is going to be harder, you know, than I ever imagined. And I think it was a prostitute in Jersey that like helped him out the first 24 hours. And it's just this great story of who steps up and who's willing to, you know, get involved to help. But The Kindness Diaries, he went from one end of the world to the other. on the kindness of strangers. He had this little motorbike, but food, lodging, gas, everything had to come from the kindness of strangers. And so the story, I mean, there, it is, the world is not always kind, and it was a great, I like the story, and I've recommended it multiple times to multiple people. And he's toured around, he's stopped in St. Louis before, and he's so earnest and humble and believes so much in this, that I'm a big fan.
Nice.
That sounds fascinating.
It's really good.
We can cut this out if...
Go on.
He's a white dude, right?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Because it would look very differently.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a little easier.
I'm just curious about these sociological experiments where I'm like, it'd be nice to, like, get all this privilege.
It's easy to be a guinea pig when you look a certain way.
Yeah, and I think that there's this whole series of, like, there's a whole genre at this point of, like, you know, privileged people being like, oh, hashtag blessed, you know, and... That's not to say that, like...
That could be a section in a bookstore. This is our hashtag blessed section.
Okay, so...
My backup was the Book of Joy from the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu. So that could be my other one that's, you know, just a shy bit less white.
Anyway, I'm sure it was still a very hard thing to do that. Like, I, as a hashtag blessed person, I would also not go about this particular experiment. So that's still admirable, but just curious.
No, that's good. No, and I know. Yeah.
Anyway, I ruined the party. All right. So, Holland, what's your bookseller confession?
My bookseller confession. I can do a more current one or a past one. The current one is, it seems like, and I sort of like quietly had to do this as everybody and their mother came in between this, like, what was it, in the last 2 years, Fates and Furies and The Nest, I hated.
Oh.
And it just got so much, both of them got so much press and so much accolade, and everybody loved them, and everybody was doing it for book clubs and things like that. And both of those I had such a hard time with. I don't know. And in the really, really horrible big picture confession, I've never read Catcher in the Rye.
Oh, no, that is totally
okay. Don't bother,
okay.
You can skip it.
No, that's not a confession. That's like, that's a point of pride. You're like a gold star lesbian in the book world. Yeah.
If you do want to read J.D. Salinger, I really liked Franny and Zoe, but Catcher in the Rye kind of sucks.
I actually read Franny and Zoe, but I just sort of, like, everybody mentions it. Everybody talks about it. I feel like I need to do it. And so, great, done.
No,
off the list.
No, don't bother. I appreciate that so much more than our normal confession, which is I haven't read Harry Potter.
Which is so wrong. I can't believe. That's like my greatest desire is to be when kids come in and they're starting to read it again with the new Brian Selznick, beautiful covers, even though I really like the other ones. But I mean, just, I wish that I wish I could start those over. I mean, that just, yeah. So, no, yeah. Nope. Fates and Furies.
What is your go-to Hansel?
I have no reason why I picked it up. Advanced reader copy. It was a book called The One in a Million Boy by Monica Wood. I sold over 100 hardcovers. I can't even think how many paperbacks. It is the best book I've read since we opened the bookstore. I can't even explain why. If you read the inside flap, it sounds like a very depressing story, but it is full of hope, and I absolutely love it. And I've yet, which of course I'll jinx it now, I've yet to have any person come back and say, oh my God, I didn't love it. I mean, it's my go-to for just across the board. It's great for adults. And you could even, it's clean enough for, you could do young adults and things like that. David Arnold wrote a book called Kids of Appetite. And it's sort of basically, I like to say it's the modern day Outsiders. So if you liked Outsiders, which is an easy sort of if you then, but it was just a great, it's, you find family where, you know, where you least expect it. And so I really liked that. And then, you know, there's some picture books and things like that, but those are my two probably easiest go-tos.
What's your go-to picture book?
There's a couple of different ones that I really like. The Lady Pancake and Sir French Toast just hits a lot of the marks, because it's a fun rhyme. It takes place in a fridge. It's a little bit original. But there's another one called Interstellar Cinderella that's that is my go-to, because she's just all kinds of badass. And I love the story. And I like putting it in the hands of someone who's like, my daughter likes princesses. Great. Here's a book for her. I really love Interstellar Cinderella.
Nice. All right. What about an impossible Hansel?
All right. So I love Matthew Quick. Anything that he's ever written, he's one of the few authors that I think stays really consistent. But he's got a book called The Good Luck of Right Now. And it's written in letters to Richard Gere. And it really has nothing. Right. The entire book is written in letters to Richard Gere. And it really has nothing to do with Richard Gere. It's just this guy. He's kind of socially awkward. He's lost his mom, and his mom liked Richard Gere. And this is the way he processes what's going on in his life right now. So imagine trying to hand sell that. So I've just explained it to you. And you're like, no. Like, it's,
No. I'm into it. I love Richard Gere. Wait, so this is the guy who did Silver Linings Playbook?
Silver Linings Playbook. He's done a couple of YA books. He did one last year that came out about a Vietnam vet called, I'll think of it.
The Reason You're Alive.
The Reason You're Alive, which was fantastic. So he writes these really flawed main characters, but they're redeemable, and you find yourself rooting for them, and you're cringing because of some of the things that they're dealing with or that the situations that they're in. But I've, you know, across the board, I loved it. So, but when you try to explain it to somebody that, like, this whole book is written in letters to Richard Gere, it's not the easiest hand sell.
That checks out.
No. Yeah. I'm down with that. I'm interested.
It's special. So great.
Yeah. What is a book you'd like to champion to other booksellers?
I would, again, sort of the Laura Vanderkam, like, she's got a whole arsenal, what the most successful people do before breakfast, what the most successful people do on the weekends, and things like that. And granted, a lot of those are big business people, but it is about compartmentalizing and kind of creating chunks of time and getting it done. And being smarter about your time so that you've got more time to do what you want. It's kind of, her whole philosophy is, we all say, and I'm sure you do as well, I don't have enough time to do that. You do. It's just, how are you choosing to spend your time? Because if you chart your time, you know, I had an obscene amount of time that I sat in front of Law and Order. And how is that, like, translating into what my goals are and really what makes me happy, you know, and things like that. So I would sort of go back and give her, or 10% Happier. Oh, I do like that one. Dan Harris, that one also kind of spoke to me, was not a little bit too hippy-dippy.
So you're saying I should stop watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine all the time?
No, I'm not. That's to make you happy, and that's furthering you along in things that you want to be doing. So it's just, you know, you do you.
So what is your favorite bookstore other than your own? I'd like particularly to know what bookstores inspired you when you were opening your store, like, 4 years ago.
Good question.
You know what? And I don't want to say, I have always, no matter what vacation, that I go on, my poor kids, they get drugged to, bookstores wherever we go.
Well, and that's the point of vacation, right?
Right. And so not for them. They're like, seriously? I'm like, seriously, you know, get kind of used to it. And so this is the way that it works. I would say Flyleaf in North Carolina jumps to my mind as the primary one. We try to visit bookstores whenever I'm, you know, touring around with my kids or just traveling anywhere. We always make it a point to go in a bookstore. But there was something about the way that they had the store arranged. They had some local art. They had this kids section. They also, though, had a meeting space that had used books that was just the whole thing. And then it was right next door to a real funky local food place that I think now does beer. And it just was like, I could spend all day here. And so we really enjoyed that. Not Sucking Up. I have now been to Elliott Bay 3 times in the last year now that I have a son, and I've also hung out with some of your people at some conferences. So I am a big fan of Elliott Bay. I always like to go to the Strand when I'm up for BEA, even though it just makes my heart hurt and it overwhelms me. I just make myself go in. Novel in Memphis. I checked that out last time, I think, for when we were for a conference. I've got some cousins there. I really like, they sort of took over from another bookstore, and what they're doing seems really good. And we did get a chance to visit the last bookstore when my kids and I were seeing some people in LA. So There's many, many more. We went on a road trip that took us through the Carolinas and Iowa and all kinds of the Dakotas. And, you know, we stopped at a bookstore in every, you know, anytime we stopped. And so, I mean, I love going in any one of them.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah. It's just fun to see.
Yeah. What about a favorite literary media? Podcasts or websites, literary magazines, what have you?
Lots. Shelf Awareness overwhelms me, but I love it. You know, it's always like on Sundays when I'm home by my, you know, when I'm doing some work at home, I'm always like going back and reading every Shelf Awareness from that day, that week, because I don't want to ever delete them without skimming them, but they do great information. What should I read next? Podcast with Modern Mrs. Darcy. Mm-hmm. I've talked with Anne a couple of times on her podcast, and so I'm a big fan of that. But again, it's so much book information that I can't listen in the car because I'm going to wreck, like, writing down recommendations and things like that sometimes. But she's got a crazy following now. We have people that have, you know, made Novel Neighbor a destination bookstore based on Anne and I talking on the podcast.
Nice.
So
wow,
I have expectations for this as well.
We will try to deliver.
They all expect to come in and have dirty gin martinis with me. But, you know, that people are really getting into kind of the literary tourism, and they're like, we heard you on and then da 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 da, and she's like sent stickers, and so like I have things to give them, but people are really in. I mean, I think it's a great time to be open. Yeah. Book Riot is fun. They always have some, you know, fun quizzes or some information that I like. And then you guys, I've sort of, you know, started now that Beth had told me about it, I love listening to you all.
Aww.
No, well, it's great. I think that anytime, I mean, I think people enjoy listening about what other people are reading. I mean, there's a, you know, there's so much on, you know, the interwebs about what should I read? What, you know, what are you reading? Things like that. I'm looking for recommendations. So this is, I mean, I can't tell you how many notes, and I've got 16 tabs open right now.
Uh-huh. I hear you.
Okay. Well, speaking of tabs, where can you be found on other people's tabs on the internet?
So our website is thenovelneighbor.com, but across other platforms, we are just at Novel Neighbor. So Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, you can find us at Novel Neighbor.
Just drop the definitive article.
Right, which, you know, but I really, it was a big discussion when we opened, but I there was something weird about being the Novel Neighbor that I didn't want to drop the V when we opened, but now it's just, we've shortened it everywhere.
Yeah,
so good.
Easier to tag, too.
It really is.
Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much. I feel so inspired by our conversation.
Yeah, I've got some conversations to have with my staff now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're going to... Things are going to happen, so.
Gonna apologize, staff. Like that.
Read so hard, libraries trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
Thank you so much to Holland for being on this episode. Just a quick shout out. We're going to have our first live episode ever this Friday, September 28th at 10 p.m. at King's Books in Tacoma, Washington. If you are in the Pacific Northwest, we'd love to have you join us there. It's free and open to the public. We'll have multiple booksellers, many authors, lots of drinks. It's going to be amazing. Feel free to stop by King's Books, 10 p.m. this Friday, September 28th. For those of you not able to join us, we will have that as our next episode. So stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, cheers, y'all.
Read so hard, libraries trying to find me. I am now marking my page. Don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page. I am now marking my page. Don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't want to forget this page. I got bookmarks at home, but I forgot one for the road.
I have a bookmark that I can loan.
Know how many bookmarks I own? I am now marking my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page. Page.